ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Welcome to the broadcast tonight. It's a real honor to bring to you Pastor Dan Catlin of Messiah's Branch. Pastor Dan, welcome back.
Well, I'm really glad to be on with you, brother. Am I coming in okay?
You're coming through really good. Sounds great.
That was, if you picked up that Skype sound, that's just what it was a bell going off. But, amen, I didn't think, it's great to be back on with you, and I didn't think I was going to get to be here because this part of the country that I live in Kansas and several other states is having tornado warnings and all that stuff going on. And so, it was supposed to hit a little while ago and it did pass over. We were supposed to have very, very large hail, and I moved a couple vehicles under trees, shut everything off and prayed. And we got torrents of rain. We didn't get any hail at all whatsoever. And now we got just a mild rain outside. So, in time just to do this wonderful program with you, brother.
Brother, I'm excited to be here with you tonight. Good to have you back in the house. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I just ask that the program goes according to your will and not ours, Father. For we don't know anything. You know it all. You can do it all. And we can do nothing without you. In Yeshua's name, bless the people and lift the veil from their hearts and their eyes and their ears tonight. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, having said that, the biggest thing that I think that I'd like to talk to you about is, you know, number one, you know, why your program is so important is because, you know, you cast out demons, and as such, that is such a huge increase right now in this world, because I believe that we are in that time of the end, and so a great evil has been released on this planet, and it's going to get much, much worse. And I've got a few points to talk about tonight to point that out.
My brother,
okay.
Absolutely. The mic is yours. Take it away, brother.
Yeah, amen. Okay, well, let's go with this. Let's go with first a heartbreaking story. Now, you all heard about the Waffle House shooting, but I don't know if you heard about this part of it. But to be clear, there was a shooter that walked into the Waffle House in Tennessee, and one of the girls that was shot was a 21-year-old Christian Belmont University student. And she was shot dead with three, along with others, in a mass shooting at the Waffle House. Others were injured, but there were three dead. Now, this particular young lady had just got, they were having it was Christians that were together here. And so she had just got through singing, "Jesus Loves Me, Yes I Know," in here before this happened. And now, while, and so that's heartbreaking. You know, people say, well, you know, the Lord loves me and he'll protect me. Well, you know, yes, he does love you if you're saved. Of course he does. And he does protect you, but he's more, at some points he will miraculously save you, just like Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, and Yeshua was right there with him. But at other times, his saving is actually allowing you to go out of the world. But the point is there is such a huge evil that is just coming on this earth, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, but especially with America. And because that's what we notice is most, I don't know how big your list, I know I have listeners, and I'm sure you do too, all over the world, but I'm going to basically talk about America tonight. But America has slipped off, it seems like we've slipped off the planet. We started noticing all these, you know, all the hatred out there with all the hate speech against Donald Trump and the Christians, and all this thing just seems to get worse and worse. And, brother, have you noticed even the language? You know, it's so common. Everybody uses the F word anymore. And, I mean, it's just ridiculous how far speech has got bad. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, anyway, all right, so moving on from that. So you can notice it in everything. The hate speech, the rhetoric has gotten bad. You know, people talking about consistently wanting to murder this politician or kill that person just because they simply express their Christian views. The devil has unleashed a huge spirit across this world, and it's getting worse. Now then, we can see that in so many things, but let me give you this. In Psalm 82:5, it says, they don't know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. And that's what's going on right now, because the Christian church, for the most part, at least in America, is asleep to these things. They don't get it. And they don't get, and then when they do wake up and they look around and they see all the evil that abounds, just like you think it's not evil, look at this. The Boy Scouts are now letting girls in. You think, well, if you say that that's all right, then you really need to think about that. Really, you're going to have boys and girls together on camping trips, and at that age when they're just hitting puberty, that's not a good thing. Besides, the Boy Scouts has always been there to grow up and make fine young men. But you know what happens when you put young boys around young girls? The boys aren't going to act normal. They're going to start trying to impress the young ladies. And so, you know, it's not a good thing. You know, it is not a good thing. But it shows you where we're slipping off the planet, so to speak. Just like the Illinois Senate today let it out that they're going to teach LGBT history in school. California already forces LGB programs and doesn't allow the parents to opt out. They're saying that it's normal. Well, let's see that. Let me ask you a question. What does the word normal mean?
That's a good question. Today, it could be whatever you think is normal for you under their standards.
Yeah, well, let's go like this. Normal, if we take a real look at the word, and I'm a guy that likes to look up words and see what's going on. So if you look up the word normal, you know, it's what the general, you know, what would be normal for your household. If it's normally that everybody goes to bed at 10 o'clock, if everybody goes to bed at 10 o'clock in your household, except for one person, it's normal to go to bed at 10, and it's abnormal for that other person because he's just one. So you have a ratio of one to maybe 10 people, okay? So it's at least, normal has to be at least over 50%. Now, when you look at Hollywood wants you to believe that it's normal for all these LGBT things going on, and so does the mainstream news media and so on and so forth. But if you look at the statistics, what do you come up with? You find out that maybe 7% of the United States population in 2016, that was at the first of the year, 2016, 7% might identify as LGBT. Now, wait a minute. They're telling us that it's normal. They're brainwashing. You know, I just asked this young friend of my son's, who is 22, like that son, and I asked him, I said, Cody, I said, hey, is it normal for this LGBT stuff going on? I said, you know, you watch TV a lot and you're on the internet a lot. And he said, yeah, I am. You know, he's a millennial. But, you know, he's a country millennial, so to speak, because he's not, you know, city exposed, which makes it a real good example. You no longer have to be in a city to be exposed to this stuff. Anyway, and so I asked him, I said, is that normal? And he says, yeah. He says, yeah, Brother Dan. He said, yeah, Big Dan, that's normal. And I said, really, Cody? I said, let's look at some stats. And, you know, Cody comes to our church off and on and with my son. But we looked at some stats, and he just was floored. He said, I don't get it. He said, you look at TV, all the shows have gay people in them, you know, just about. And all the movies, that's what they're doing. And you, by looking at TV, you would think that it's normal. Well, that's brainwashing. You know, have you ever heard of, any of you folks out there ever heard of the movie 1984? They brainwash you with this. It's just like now, you know, even adults, you can't even hardly have a conversation with somebody that's on the left. And this isn't even people on the left. People that watch normal TV, what I call broadcast TV, ABC, NBC, those things, without even touching CNN, are exposed to a rhetoric that makes you think that this is all normal. They're brainwashing with you. And then they say that Fox News and some of the other conservative stations or whatever are, that's the fake news, when it is themselves. But they're putting an agenda over on you, and you're being brainwashed. And so then you try to quote a source or reason with them, and what do? You get demonic hatred out, say, oh, no, they go off and scream at you. They don't want to hear the other side of it. Free speech is being silenced. This is an onslaught of the devil. It's coming against Christianity and the whole world. Just like the hoopla of them pushing a Muslim agenda, you know, they're actually teaching it in schools, you know, and saying that Muslims are what? They're saying that they're equal. We worship the same God. I'm sorry. We don't worship the same God as Muslims. In fact, the God that Muslims worship isn't even a God, it's a devil, but let's go with this. The Word of God says that it goes like this. The Word of God says that he who denies the Son denies also the Father. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, it's one of the tenets of the faith of Islam that Yeshua, or Jesus, if you will, is not the Son of God, that he never died on the cross. So that is the spirit of Antichrist. But yet they want to teach you that it's the same, and you have huge denominations of churches that are going along with that. Yeah, we worship the same God. And the Pope says, yeah, they can all get into heaven. They don't have to accept Christ. This is the spirit of Antichrist that's on the world. And this is the onslaught that you're starting to see manifest you and take over people, and, you know, to where they have to have a cleansing. And there's not enough people out there to do it. That's why your work is really important. Have you seen an increase?
Oh, absolutely, brother. It's like total confusion out there, my friend, with all this stuff that's going on. And, you know, brother, we cannot give up on speaking the truth. You know, if people had given up, we would not have had our president. If people had given up, we would have had Hillary in office. It would be a nightmare. You and I doing a program under the reign of Queen Jezebel and Ahab. But praise God, people said, hey, we're not going to accept this. We're going to fight back, and we're going to vote. We're going to pray and repent. You know, God heard our prayers and gave us some reprieve. But the battle is still raging over there. Back to the point you made about the school system in California. There is no way in this earth that I would put my kid in a California school. I'd move out of state before I would subject them to this gender programming to make it think, well, you know what? You're a girl, but if you want to be a boy, you can be a boy. And if you're a boy and you want to be a dog, well, we'll call you Fido. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be an alien. I mean, come on. Where are they going to stop, brother? If not, maybe someone needs...
They're not going to stop. Let me bring it, not to talk over you, but I got something I want to introduce.
Throw it in.
Now you have the point. Let's go with this. Okay. I said from the first when Donald Trump came that I was totally behind him, and I still am. Let's go with this. I said that he'd have to win by an overwhelming majority. He did, because of all the rigged elections, and now we're even find out there's over 3 million people registered to vote in the United States, and there are people in the United States. Let that sink in a little bit. Okay. So here's the point. So why? Well, there is those of us that are standing up, and this is my message for tonight. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to believers. It is time now for you to stand up and talk. It is time to fight back. You know, we got a chance with Donald Trump here in America, but that chance is only going to work if you have entered into the battle. And the reason why we are at this far, people say, well, why did this happen? We're supposed to be a Christian nation, and all this hit us. I'm going to tell you the absolute reason why America is where it's at. And if you want, I'll go on with that, or you can comment first. Back to you for a minute.
Brother,
okay,
this is the truth here that we're talking about tonight. We're at a real crisis, folks. If we let up, Pastor Dan, and we don't speak the truth like you're doing tonight and call out sin, sin, and that, hey, this is not normal, this is abnormal, what they're trying to force on people and what the true agenda is, to bore all lines of sexuality, to condone every practice on the sun. Here's where they're going with it, brother. First, the homosexual said, well, hey, you know, we just want to be able to do our own thing. We don't want to hurt anybody. Just let us marry man with man, woman with woman. It didn't stop there, brother. What they then are pushing for is they want everybody to acknowledge that they're not abnormal, but they're normal and we're the queer.
Right.
That, you know, to say that you're born male or female is anachronistic.
Let me jump in here. It's like this. Number one, folks, let me tell you something about a homosexual, and then you tell me, then you think about whether it's normal. Number one, a man and a woman produces a child. The commandment is be fruitful and multiply. Jack and Jack can't multiply, nor Sarah and Linda, so to speak.
Right.
They can't multiply. He made you male and female so you would need each other and be one complete creation to produce more human beings to worship the Father. That's the way it is. Even if you look at it at nature, two of the same thing can't do it. It wasn't made that way. It's an abomination. So
right.
Let me move on. I'm going to move right on with this. Okay. So, you know, like in Canada, they're trying to bring it to the United States, but you stop and think about this too. You know, they passed a law in Canada that you can have sex with animals as long as you don't penetrate them. So that means, you know, you can have all the oral things that you want to do with them, you know, and that's a law. Can you imagine that? It's in the same things that's coming to the United States. And you see it more and more all the time. People are having sex with everything there is. But when you take God out of something, then all kinds of perversion comes in because the devil's just waiting in the corner. But the problem is see, I'm talking to believers out there, and you believers are what you call the body of Yeshua. The body of Yeshua is now people call it the church. So now I'm talking about most of the mainstream church, not all churches, but I'm talking to most of them. Okay, here's what happened. In 1954, there was an amendment to the tax code, and it is named after the person that brought it forward, and the reason he brought it forward was because the church was after him back then, because he was a drunkard and he was a womanizer, and his name is Johnson. He later on became president. But they were after him, and so he helped, and he came up with this amendment that was put on to another bill that nobody opposed it, and it wasn't even controversial for a while, although it shut the church up, but it is called the 501(c) nonprofit. What it does, it created a entity, the 501(c) exemption, to where a church could have a number. Now, it would go like this. If I say, well, you know, donate to my church, and used to be, and it is still this way with us. We are a church. Messiah's Branch is a church. We're not a corporation. So you could get tax deductions. I know people do it all the time that donate to us have, you know, huge amounts of money over the years and have been able to get a tax deduction if that's what you want. They didn't need the number. But the churches said, oh, okay, we'll do this. And so they got a number. So that way, now from now on, if somebody says, hey, can I get a tax deduction? And you say, yeah, here's my number. They call the IRS. They give them the number. And the IRS says, yeah, sure, they're clear. And so, but the problem with that is when you become a corporation, you have to do what the state says, because a corporation is owned by the state. You understand that? Any corporation is owned by the state. The church, the body of Messiah, is supposed to be, the head of it is supposed to be Yeshua. And you follow him, not the state. But the state rules override what you want to do, which means you cannot freely speak. It says anybody cannot intervene in the publishing, distributing of statements or any political campaign on behalf of the opposition of any candidate or public office. They cannot speak in the church as they did prior to this and stand up and say, hey, that womanizer like Johnson is a womanizer and he's a drunkard. And used to be that was a standard that the church would say, hey, if you're those things, you know, we can't elect that guy to office, you know. And we did have a better of America from 54 back, at least spiritually. While there's always been things going on with America spiritually, it was a much, much better place. So this came in 1954, so the church couldn't speak out political or any controversial political subject like what? Oh, guess what? They couldn't stand up and protest about gay marriage. They couldn't stand up and protest because they took the Ten Commandments and prayer out of the school. They couldn't stand up and really protest. Well, some people do protest about abortion, which is legalized murder, by the way, sacrifices to the devil. They can speak up against that, because if they did, they would lose their 501(c), and then they'd lose a bunch of money. Well, you know, once you become a corporation and you're owned by the state, try going out of business of being a 501(c) when your property is technically owned by the state. You can't even distribute it unless you distribute it to other 501(c) corporations, or the state can confiscate it. It's that easy. It's written in the code, and it's written in there when you sign that agreement. Most churches don't know it. Most people don't know it. So what did that do? So you silenced the church, something that's never happened in America. The church has always been part of America. I mean, come on, when they first built the Capitol building, they held church services in there every Sunday. Our founding fathers were Christians for the most part, most of them. This country was built so they could worship Christianity, Jesus Christ, as they wanted. Not so all these other strange things could come in. And the reason there was ever anything said about church and state, so there wouldn't be another church state like there is in England. You know, at that time, the King of England would also be the head of the church. And so he could say what he wanted and change what he wanted. So that's why that separation of church was there. It wasn't to stifle Christianity, but yet these greedy people, because of love of money, not money, but the love of money got to them. And what did they start doing with the money? So now we're coming up into the 60s, and the government also says, okay, let's create this great welfare system. Well, the church, for the most part, saw, well, wait a minute. Prior to that, the church was the one who was charity. That was welfare, so to speak. If a pastor and the people in his church, you know, people more or less then, they went to the churches in their neighborhood, and they would look and they'd say, oh, yeah, hey, that family down the street, he lost his job. And so the people in the church would start talking about, well, I think I can find him a job. And they said, well, let's take him some food. And they'd go knock on his door. And they'd give him a hand up, like the Bible says. You're supposed to help your poor brother before poverty really sinks in. You're supposed to give him a hand up back to where he was at. And so they would help him out. But then as the church looked at the government and said, well, the government's doing that, why do we need to do it? And so more and more and more and more, the church got out of charity. And then what did they start spending their money on? They started, instead of going out to the streets and spreading their kindness and goodness of Yeshua to the street, they started using that money for big, huge buildings that have even, I know churches that have bowling alleys in them. Come on, what does bowling alleys have to do with Christ? or these churches that are an abomination. Like I seen one in Atlanta, Georgia, that has put those high wire people up that swing around on fancy ropes and do acrobatics while they're preaching.
Good
what
grief.
Does that have to do with the gospel? Back to you for a minute. I'll take a drink of water.
Brother, that's sick. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're live with Pastor Dan Catlin from Messiah's Branch, my old friend. He's staying the course for Jesus, helping many in Wichita, Kansas, and around the world. You know, compromise is not going to be something you want to be involved in when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an accounting. And if people, in order to preserve their financial income, are compromising on the Word of God and are not speaking out of sin for fear of reprisal and retribution from governments, you know, they're going to answer to God for that, because we're to speak the truth in love, but the truth. And, you know, people may not like the truth, but that's okay. The truth will offend people. It will cause them to question what they're doing. And they'll have no excuse on Judgment Day because they heard the truth. The truth will set them free if they embrace it. But, you know, all this stuff that we're talking about tonight, it's confusion out there. To the kids, they don't know what they are in many cases. I heard that there's over 40 sex changes a month going on in the UK involving little children. Kids 4 years old. Hey, mama, I think I'm supposed to be a man. And it was born a girl. And so they do the sex change or vice versa. God have mercy. Can you think about that for a moment? Little child doesn't even know what he's saying. And they may castrate him at a young age and turn him into a eunuch, turn him into a woman, put him on hormones so he can grow titties. Folks, this is sick. God's not the author of confusion. I'll tell you who is: Satan. And it's gotten really bad in Canada, as you mentioned. You can go to jail as a pastor if you speak out against homosexuality. Well, maybe we need some people to go to jail. Take a stand for Jesus. If you go to jail for speaking the truth, great is your reward in heaven. When they persecute me, they'll persecute you, Jesus said. And if they persecute you for righteousness' sake, great is your reward in heaven. But people got to make a stand, Brother Dan, because if we don't, then we get run over like a steamroller in America.
And that's what happened.
We need
and
the pastors preaching the truth,
pastors,
my brother.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The pastors from the pews shut up. They quit talking about these things. And, you know, and then you have these confessional churches that now are afraid to speak out at sin. Also, not only because of losing their 501(c), but because of the fact that if they preach against homosexuality, what the Bible says. Anybody can open the Bible, you can find these things. And if you can't stand on the Word and what it says and what it said for all those thousands of years and want to go to this new thing, then you have nothing to stand on. You have no faith. Let me go on. Okay. So, but now, you know, well, okay, we're going to start preaching against sin. And that's what's supposed to happen with the body of Messiah. You, all this, don't judge me. It isn't that you're judging you. You're talking about sin. And if you're into that sin, then the Word's supposed to set you on fire. And so you repent of it and you move on. That's what the church is for, to clean you up. And that's what it always consistently did. Among all the other wonderful things that it did, that's the most wonderful thing it did, is to get you to turn away from sin. But anyway, so they preach against sin. And what happens? Oh, well, we can go down the street to this other church. They don't preach against that. So let's go down there and drink. And hey, I heard, guess what? They got a bowling alley in down there. We can use their bowling alley and we can use their tennis court. And this is no joke, folks. They can use the bowling alley and tennis court. And hey, guess what? They just put in a wonderful coffee bar over there. Now, I don't have a problem with people drinking coffee in church, but they went to an extreme. They put in coffee bars and cappuccino and all that. And they all sit around and gossip instead of in there listening to the Word, when it's the Word of God that is supposed to bring you to the church meeting, not the fancy lights and the women on high wires and fancy tights spin it around while the pastor's preaching a message. And I don't know, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. But that's what's going on, and that's the spirit of the devil. And so my question to you tonight is, you say that you're a Christian, amen. Praise the Father. But let's go with this. Where are the men and women of the Father that need to stand up? The Bible doesn't tell you to be passive. You need to stand up like you should in and ran the money changers out of the church. That's what they did, and that's Amen. What you need to do, you know?
Brother Dan.
And when we come back, I'll talk about the church.
We must take a stand and call out sin as sin. The rights that we don't stand up for, we will lose, folks. Because we acquiesced and did nothing. We did not let our voices be heard. That's why I'm still a little bit miffed at those that didn't vote in the last election. Because there was this propaganda machine that was promulgating a lie which said, well, it's already been decided. The voting machines are rigged. You can't affect any change. I even had a false prophetess come on here and said God told her that Hillary Clinton would be the next president. I mean, you know, people just gave up when they heard that false report. Thank God that people didn't just sit on their buttocks and do nothing in England, or they would have never had Brexit. People were told that you'd never be able to escape out of the EU, yet people voted. Now, people are angry that are part of the New World Order. They didn't want the UK to break out of the EU, but the people spoke up. Same way here in America. You know what? Praise God, there were enough Christians and patriots that said, enough's enough. We've had tyranny for decades. We don't need another 8 years of it. And they said, I'm going to vote. I'm going to do all I can do, and having done so, stand. God took a poll of the hearts of the church, brother. He wanted to see who would cry out against the sins of this nation, who was tired of the direction we were going, where our last president was out there spending taxpayer dollars to fly around Africa and try to force the African countries to embrace homosexuality. He took and perverted the rainbow and was holding transvestite parties up there in the White House. That was an abomination. And the presidents that came before him were no better. Adultery in the White House. You know, black false flag operations. You know, they've all been wicked. I don't think we've had a good president since Reagan, and he wasn't perfect himself. But the point is, if Christians had believed the lie that we can't make a difference, then nobody would have voted, and we would have gotten Hillary Clinton. But thank God, enough stood up and said, enough's enough, I'm going to vote, and went out there and did something. And now people don't know what to do. They thought it was a done deal. Hillary was going to get in. Hillary thought she was going to get in. The whole New World Order thought she was going to get in. All the news media thought so. But God turned it around, because enough people got up and did something. Not everybody's going to do the right thing, but when you and I stop doing the right thing, folks, and we rely on someone else to do the heavy lifting, then it's all lost. We cannot accept what Hollywood wants to jam down our throats, or the liberal media out there wants to say is the correct way. We need to go back to the Word of God. Let me give the Word here for a moment. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now, people say we're judging them. No, the Word of God judges you if you're in this lifestyle. Here you go. Word of God says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. There we go. It's right there in the Word of God. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Spirit of God. So I'm not calling out homosexuality as being a worse sin than these others that are listed. But for people to say, well, God will love me as I am, and, you know, I can come to church and be there with my homosexual lover and make it in heaven. Folks, you're fooling yourself, just as you're fooling yourself tonight if you're a drunkard. It says right here, homosexuals, drunkards, if you're out there having sex outside of marriage, that's fornication and adultery. You know, if you're having sex with someone else's husband or wife, that's adultery. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you do not repent. Now, the reason we are preaching the truth is so people can repent and be saved before it's too late. Now, if we didn't love people, we would remain silent. Or if we wanted to compromise, then we would say nothing. And sadly, before I give it back to you, Brother Dan, there's many televangelists tonight They've got millions of dollars. And you know what? They've got a platform with millions of listeners and viewers, bigger than you and I have. And we're working with what we've got. They could be up there speaking the truth, but they don't talk out about abortion as a sin. They don't talk about it, a homosexuality. They don't hit these hard topics because it would offend some people and they would lose some money, or they're afraid that they may lose their tax status. You know what? I say push the limits until they take your tax status away. I'm not against someone being able to give a tax write-off, because the truth of it is, I'm not a 501c3, and if anybody gives to Omega Man Radio, you know, I got to pay 30% taxes on it, back to Uncle Sam, and I can give them no write-off. I wish I could. And I know some people that have that status, and they're not abusing it and going out and buying jet planes. But if it comes to where that's going to keep us from speaking the truth, well, then we don't need that status. Or we may need to go to jail,
right,
rather than to shut our mouths. Because, you know, in England right now, there was an American pastor that went over there and joined a British speaker, and they were out there on the sidewalk exercising here what would be our right to free speech. Over there, they spoke out against Islam, against homosexuality, against a number of these sins. Not just focusing on one, but hit a number of them. And some of the people around there complained. Now, they didn't have to hang around and listen, but they did. They got offended. They called the police. The police arrested them. They got their day in court. And you know what the prosecuting attorney said? He said, "While there's no question as to whether or not this is in the King James Bible," and their defense was, "Hey, we're just reading the Word of God," he said, "the Word of God is outmoded and not for today."
Yeah.
In so many words, and they were fined $3,000 each. Brother,
yeah,
it's sad when it's come to that. It's going to come to that in America. Back to you.
Okay. Just real quick, because I want to cover a couple things. Just first off, folks, number one, look, when you come to the Messiah, when you come to Yeshua or Jesus Christ, however you want to say it, in that sense, there is a thing, is it's called being born again. That means your old self dies. And when your old self dies, that means it's dead. That means the part of you that was alive to sin needs to be dead. And you're born again. You can't carry these sins into heaven. It's not all right to be as you was. You know, you start off and you start learning. You know, you're supposed to eat the Word of God. You're supposed to be around fellow believers who will feed you. At least listen to the right things if you're just going to listen on the radio. But these TV and televangelists are crazy. As far as the tax deduction goes, let's go back to that for just a split second. You know, I said the church, if you are a church, Messiah's Branch, we have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas. If you are a church and you're doing what a church is supposed to be doing, you don't need a 501c to get a tax deduction if that's what you want. Myself personally, I don't like tax deductions because you should be looking for a heavenly reward. But if you need a tax deduction, if you donate to a church that is a non-501c, you can claim it and get it. But you got to be a church. Messiah's Branch is. Now, so let's go with this. What is it all right if I talk about the Wichita Mission Church, brother?
Absolutely. There's many people who have never heard you speak before. And, folks, I've been following Pastor Dan for many years. He's the real deal. They're making a difference. I want you all to learn about what he's doing there in Wichita and how you can be a part of it, because he's in a city with, I don't know, maybe 100 churches or more. You know the total count there. And
there's a lot.
There's a lot there. You say, well, they've got it all taken care of then. They're helping the homeless folks. If that were the case, there wouldn't be people still sleeping under bridges. Nowhere to go.
Yeah.
People standing in line to get in to the mission there at Messiah's Branch. The doors are not being opened, folks, in these other places, but Brother Dan is opening them. Talk about your mission there, my brother.
Okay, amen. So let's go with this. You know, the first thing, you know, we have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, where we help the homeless and poor, anybody that walks in the door. We don't ask until you share. But here's the point. He pointed out the other churches and a lot of people. This is still really part of the 501c trap. We don't get any help from any organized churches, and it's really hard to get donations for people, because when I start talking about, like I'm talking tonight, oh, they're pointing at my church. And by the way, I'm not calling you to leave your church. I'm calling you to stand up if you're in a church and tell your pastor and tell the other people, because you're probably there for a reason. So you need to work on your church that you're in, if at all possible. Having said that, it goes like this. If you're a 501c corporation, you normally, your mindset is that is the only legitimate corporation that you can donate to. So they don't look for, because, you know, they've been, 501c supposedly have been thoroughly vetted, so they look for other 501c to minister to or help out with. Well, you know, and then the 501c, like I say, there's hundreds of churches in Wichita, Kansas, and they have a huge problem, but the problem is the people from the churches and the people that the city has appointed to be in these agencies that are government agencies that hoodwink the churches into believing this is the best way to take care of everybody. But they don't want to cure the problem, because if they cure the problem, then there's no need for them. You know, that's like, hey, when I get the house finished, do I have another house to paint? No, so I'll just take it easy until another house pops up. Well, so the point is, they could have cured the problem a long time ago. If the churches, if that many churches in the city decides that it is, or in any city, would just open their doors a few days a week, you know, and give a meal, which is, by the way, that's where God's money's supposed to be going. It's supposed to be helping your brothers and sisters out. It's supposed to be going out in the street. There's a concept. Go out into the street, not wait for them to come to your building and preach the word of God to them. That's what the church is supposed to do. So if they did what the church is supposed to do, you wouldn't have the hunger problem, and you wouldn't have all the evilness, at least in it as much. But they went to sleep. So what do? You know, we take care of the people that walk in the door. You know, we can't take care of everybody, but we do a tremendous work. We're in a part of town where most people won't walk. They won't walk through in the daytime. Don't hardly want to drive through after dark. It is a horrendous part of the city. Out right outside of our building and walking all around are prostitutes and drug addicts and all kinds of evil people. They respect what we're doing there. We help them. We help those people. We help poor people that are, you know, working hard, but, you know, they just can't make enough money to pay their rent and everything else and get food and clothing for their children and for themselves, so they come looking for help. And then we talk about deliverance, you know. Now, while I'm not somebody that does a lot of deliverance over the phone, I did a lot of hands-on deliverance with some of the most evil on this planet. But people come in and they ask for miracle prayers, you know. They want their life, because why do they ask us? Because they know we're different. Why do they know that we're different? Because we're right there where they are at, showing them the love of Yeshua. We are showing them that love. You know, I'll take, and I would, I can't count how many times I took, and a guy said, man, Pastor Dan, you got another pair of gloves? You know, and I'd take the ones off my hand and give it to him. And, you know, hey, I can get by getting in and out of the bus without a pair of gloves, you know, but he needs it. He's in the street, you know, or maybe he's just, you know, a poor guy walking to work and he needed them. I can't count how many people I picked up literally off the sidewalk and carried them into the building and helped them, you know. And then that same person I run into, I can hardly go any place in Wichita, brother, without somebody recognizing me and say, hey, Pastor Dan, that's what they all call me. That's how I got the nickname Pastor Dan. Well, I am a real minister. I have credentials, but they don't mean nothing. It just means if you're called by God, that's what matters. But they say, hey, Pastor Dan, man, you know, come here. Is that you? Yeah, hey, come here. And you know, they give me a hug and they're so thankful for the prayers that we said and the direction that we gave them in life that changed their life. I have guys tap me on the shoulder in stores like Home Depot and Dillon's, both that's happened to me. Guy tapped me on the shoulder, turn around and look, and in both instances, almost the same instance, and they say, hey, Pastor Dan, you recognize me? And I go, no. And they go, well, I'm such and such. You picked me up off the sidewalk and you did this for me. And another one, well, you ministered to me as you was giving me a ride home when I was all high and everything, and you prayed with me, and it changed my life. And so now these guys are productive citizens and are managers of stores. This is what we do. We'll start our 19th year of doing this. We have been, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people. When you consider they all, it's not that we help a thousand at once, but when you get a turnover of every time that we make a meal, we plan a meal for 100 or more. And so it'll, some days it'll be just 65 or 70 plates we give out at 4:30, or it might be 100 or 110, because we even the people from the neighborhood, they'll come over. We some people are shut-ins. We got a Vietnam veteran and his disabled wife that he comes over and he gets two plates of food for him and his wife. They live in a motel across the street, and so that's a blessing to them. Or they come in and there's a clothes closet, and you know, they can go in there, and we don't say it, stand over and say, oh, you can take two pieces of clothing. No, whatever you want, brother. You, oh, you need a plastic bag from Walmart? Here, use one of these bags and take all you want. You know, they're free to get what they want, you know. And, you know, we spend down, you, where does all the money come from for this? This money comes from the Father, and he uses people to do it. The problem is I don't believe as many people listen as they think they ought to, but it's about faith. Here's the thing with faith. Faith is like this. If you have faith and you say you believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, you believe in God the Father, you believe in the Bible, then you're going to act on what's there. I was kept up all night long by the Father telling me that I had to feed the people, feed the people. I stepped out in faith and did it, and we've been doing it for 19 years. We spend down to nothing in my pocket. I live 60 miles from Wichita. I drive to Wichita sometimes with just the gas money to get there, and I'm not sure how we're going to feed everybody, but we have never failed getting back home. We have never failed in feeding the people somehow, some way, whether somebody made a donation online or somebody walked in the door and gave us funds. That's what happened. But by faith, because see, he sits here and he tells me I'm 60 miles away. Well, Pastor Dan or Dan, you know, get up and move, go over there and feed the people. Well, Father, how am I supposed to do it? Okay, I'll wait here until you send me the money in the mail or you send me the money on the internet. No, I get my can up, excuse the language, out of my chair and I get in my car. Oh, oops, it's only got a quarter tank of gas. Doesn't matter. And I drive over there to the Wichita Mission Church and I feed the people. Say prayers with them, give them Bibles, somehow find them shoes, clothing, whatever they need, and then I come back home. And I make it. But I, when I left, I had $2 in my pocket and 50 cents and maybe a quarter tank of gas. But I fed that day anywhere from 60 to 100 and some people. And that's just a 4:30 meal. People come in at 1 o'clock to between 1 and 3. And between 1 and 3, we serve egg sandwiches. Try 15, anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 dozen egg sandwiches a day, every day that we're open. That's a lot of food. And nobody has to come in and say, oh, I'm this and that and it's wrong. Hey, man, you got an egg sandwich? Yeah, go sit down. Or wait till we fix, get the people in the front room and we'll come outside and give you a sandwich. That's protein, brothers and sisters. And it's free. And it's all comes from the Father. You know, right now, I don't know, I might have $82 in the bank right now, and that's, I will spend to where there's nothing in my pocket if somebody has a need. And that's how we do it, and we've been doing it for a miraculous, like I said, we've been doing it for 19 years, and we start our 19th year in June, and when am I going to stop? I'll stop when the Father tells me, or, you know, when people quit coming in the door, and I don't think that's going to happen because we have new faces all the time come in needing miracles in their life, and we give them that life. You know, around the Wichita Mission Church, you know, people talk, you know, people are always talking about miracles. Well, you know, people come in and we lay hands on them, and if it's Father's will, you know, I've seen brain tumors healed instantly. I've seen people come out of the street instantly, and so on and so on and so forth. I've walked into the church and forgot I had anointing oil in my pocket and had somebody fall down and scream at my feet because they wanted me to get away from them. You know, we cast out demons. We do all those things. We do what it says in the Bible that they did. We're supposed to do those things after we're supposed to do greater things. But none of it works unless you have one thing, and that's called faith. Back to you, brother.
Brother, you're doing a fantastic job over there, and you have been for a number of years. Folks, the need is never ending, because there's always people, you know, put in situations that they don't want to be into, and living paycheck to paycheck. Then the job ends and they find themselves on the street, or from drugs. Any number of reasons can cause someone to go homeless. Shoot, we have a friend, Mel Novak, who ministers down at Skid Row, Brother Dan, and he's seen ex-judges end up on Skid Row. I mean, people come from all walks of life and educational backgrounds can just end up down and out. And you know what? Jesus says, when you lend to the poor, you've lent to me, and I shall repay. I never forget that. It's in the Word of God, folks. When we remember the poor, those less fortunate, help the widows, the orphans, those in disaster, bless Israel. God will bless you and I. And Brother Dan is the real deal. They are doing a fantastic job. Him and Sister Linda. That's the name of your wife, correct? Is it Linda?
Yeah, and I'd Sister love Linda. To bring her on with you. She just had something else to do tonight. And but she does want to come on. And, you know, she wants to thank you because, you know, after all, you've been a supporter for a very long time, brother.
Well, you know what? You're doing a great job. And I've seen the difference it makes, folks. Again, imagine you being out in extreme weather. Your house is a cardboard box or a sleeping bag under a bridge or on a bench somewhere. You're out in the elements. Wichita, Kansas gets pretty cold. I was looking at the rainstorm coming in. You got torrential rain coming down over there. You got tornadoes. Where are you going to go, folks? You don't have a roof over your head. You went to a mission and they say, hey, there's no room here. Or they're closed. Or, as was the case many times, dead of winter, freezing outside, and a church who has a heated fellowship hall, they've got locked doors. They wouldn't make any space available for the night, folks. It happens. Thank God for Messiah's Branch. Can you imagine being in that situation? I remember you telling the testimony. It was horrible, but it stuck in my brain. You knew a couple homeless people. They were under a bridge, and it was so cold. One of them was half frozen that a rabbit came out of the bushes and bit him. He couldn't fend himself off. Another guy had spiders crawling over him. Can you imagine, folks?
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Living in a situation out in the extreme environment like that with no help? Praise God for Messiah's Branch. They're light in the darkness out there. And when you help Brother Dan in the ministry, it's going to get right to the people who need it. You know, no questions asked. He opens up the doors, feeds them food, feeds them the Word. You know, Brother Dan, doesn't the Word say, how can we bring the gospel to someone who hasn't eaten? And we preach the Word and say, go with God. It says, feed them first, so their belly is full. Then they can receive the Word.
Look, real quickly, you know, even you should, come on, some of His greatest miracles was feeding people. And, you know, He did that. You know, it's kind of hard to sit and listen to the Word if you're not filled up. But the point is we say if you are to love your neighbor as yourself, and you all need to go read James chapter 2, you really do. If you want to know what the concept of why we believe, go read James chapter 2. But it tells us that, you know, if somebody comes to you for help, and I'm paraphrasing, if somebody comes to you for help and they say, hey, you know, I've got this great need, you know, I need a coat, and you pray with them, and you say, okay, I prayed with you, and so be on your way, and I know the Lord's going to give you that coat, but yet you got an extra one, or you got one right there, you give Him that. Don't you help Him for His need there, because after all, I was brought to you. And so, you know, you have to also be careful about entertaining strangers, for you might entertain an angel. But the point is we just need to do our best. When we help each other, it's like serving God. You say you want to serve God, the best way you can serve God is by serving others. And Yeshua showed us that as a suffering servant.
I want to say one more thing. Many people are worried about the times we're living in, and there's others that will say, hey, you know what? Take every available dime you got and put up provisions for you and your family for hard times to the detriment of everything else. Folks, I say the best end-time investment is invest in kingdom work. Help the widows, the orphans, those in disaster, the poor. Bless Israel, because God will keep His Word. He's not a man that He would lie. He watches over His Word performance. And I'll never forget, Brother Dan, as the economy was collapsing in America, there was a million foreclosures going on. Banks were shutting down and being merged and bought out and, you know, all this going on every single day in the news. You know, I myself was feeling the effects. I was at an herbal product at the time, and all of a sudden we went from great sales to I was getting ready to have to lay out people. Ultimately, I'd even have to move it back to the house. It would just be me. And then eventually it all died. But you know what? It didn't happen overnight. God sustained me. And I remember God impressed into my spirit one day, the reason you're even alive right now, still in business, when others are already dead, is because you've remembered the poor. And I opened up the word and it fell open. If you lend to the poor, you've lent to God. God will repay. I never forgot that. Folks, give to missions work. Give to Messiah's branch. You're going to be blessed in the time ahead. Believe me, when you need it, God is going to be there for you, and he's going to remember what you did. You remember the poor in the time of plenty? It says God will remember us in times of famine, folks. You and I won't go hungry. Give now while you can, and watch what God does. You'll get a blessing now and then. Brother Dan, how can people give to the mission? Also,